Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to Frights of the Roundtable. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and tonight we do not have our co-host. I don't think she'll be joining us tonight, but if she does call in, we'll talk to her because she's not available at this moment. But we have our guest for tonight, Megan Deanna Smith. How are you doing, Megan?
Hey, hi. I am doing so good. How about you, Jonathan?
I'm doing fantastic. Well, okay, I told you earlier that I had a cold, so yeah, I'm not doing perfect, but I'm doing a lot better than, you know, with the cold. But anyway,
you've been better, you've been worse.
Yes, exactly. okay, so to begin with, I gotta ask, like, how did you get started in acting?
Oh, okay. Really weird story, but ever since I could speak, I always would tell everyone I'm going to be an actress before I even knew what it meant. Like, when I had my,
really?
You know, yeah, I remember having my confirmation in my Catholic church and the priest asking us what we all wanted to be, and I was like, I'm going to be an actress. Like, just never really knowing what it meant. But then I started to do it in, like, middle school and then high school and would take classes outside of school and majored in it in college. I just always knew. So long story short, I always knew.
Oh, great. Now, it kind of reminds me of, I had graduated in summer school, unfortunately. And in summer school, there's not that many people, you know, kids graduating. There's like five of us or something. So they could actually say stuff about the person. And I remember it actually said that I was going to want to be the person read, people that were, like, talking about the person personally, they said, Jonathan wants to be an actor and a filmmaker. And, yeah. And so, I guess you knew at a very young age that you wanted to do this. This is what you wanted to do. Can you describe what, like, your early career was like when you first started to, like, jump into, like, films?
Sure. So let's take you way back to the early 2000s when I was making my own films on my dad's camcorder. And
nice.
I feel so honored to be a this podcast blog talk radio specifically because I've always absolutely adored horror movies. It's
mm-hmm.
always been my absolute favorite genre. I've just always been obsessed. So the movies that I would make when I was younger, I would do remakes of all the M. Night Shyamalan movies. So there's me.
Remakes?
At, like,
did you, like, reimagine them? Do you do differently?
No, it was, like, the same scenes, the same dialogue, but me and, like, my neighbor, when we're 14 years old, pretending to be Mel Gibson and Aliens. Like, that's
nice.
What I would do. My first experience on camera. I went on to also do.
That must have been fun, though.
I loved it. And any kid who, like, loves being creative or wants to be in the entertainment industry in any aspect, getting to just make content in general should always be so much fun, whether you're on a professional set or as a hobby. I think if you're on a professional set and it's not fun, then you're not doing something right. Something's wrong, you know?
So was M. Night, like, one of your favorite, like, filmmakers, or was he, like, an inspiration to you?
Oh, heck yeah. I adore to this day M. Night Shyamalan, and I feel like the old M. Night is coming back with Split. I don't know if you watched Split.
I love Split.
It was incredible. It's incredible. And the reason that I love M. Night so much is because he is such a master at creating original content. So he doesn't do remakes. He doesn't always do, like, trilogies or things like that. Like, for the most part, all of his stories are original and they come from him. And lately in this world, in this time in the entertainment industry, everything's a reboot, everything's a remake. And I hate that to a certain extent. So I love that his has just always been original. So definitely an inspiration to just be creative and come up with your own ideas.
Yep. He's even got a sequel to Unbreakable coming out this year or next year called Glass. Did you know that?
Yeah, and it's going to combine the Split world with the Unbreakable world because James McAvoy's character is comparable to Bruce Willis's character. So there's rumors, and he kind of said that it's going to involve both, which is crazy.
Maybe they should put the Visit kids in there too. Like just have it all his whole world, you know. You know,
hell
I actually like
then
those kids.
Can pop out blind and yeah.
Have you seen The Visit?
Yeah, I did with the grandkids and oh gosh, that was also awesome.
Yeah, well, this is definitely a very good take on the Red Riding Hood or not Red Riding Hood. What's the kids that Hansel and Gretel, you know?
Hansel and Gretel, yeah.
It was a Hansel and Gretel story. But what I really liked about it is those kids later on went to do Better Watch Out, which I don't know if you've seen that or not, but that movie is amazing.
What's that?
Okay, so the two kids are in it. One plays like a babysitter, and then the girl plays the babysitter of this kid. And then it becomes like she's just babysitting over Christmas. And when she, all of a sudden, like, the house gets taken over by, it becomes like a home invasion story. It's not your typical home invasion story. And I can't give any, like, I can't say anything because I don't want to give any spoilers. You know, because there is a really great twist to it. Better Watch Out. Yeah, it's really good. But anyway, we're here to talk about you.
The Visit real quick. So Catherine Hahn, I adore because I also, as much as I love horror films, I also do comedy. Like I'm a comedian and, you know, I've studied dramatic, whatever. But Catherine Hahn is in The Visit, who I adore as a comedian. She's so hysterical. So it was awesome to get to see her, you know, in a horror film, but still bring like realism and light to the story. But so that's the kind of career I want. I want to be able to do the like raunchy comedy she does, but then also get to do horror movies. So it's like a perfect mix.
Exactly. And I think that's the beauty of horror and comedy. Like I almost feel like both of them can be kind of intermixed together. You know,
especially from hashtag from Jennifer, the movie that we're kind of going to talk about, that one I think is the perfect mix of dark comedy and horror.
Exactly. And I think your character in From Jennifer, so let's talk about that because that's really like the main thing. But like, you know, seeing it twice, I really, really enjoyed your character. She was just very peppy and upbeat, and you could see kind of why she would get all these good jobs. She wasn't like there to hurt anybody, you know. Like she was just kind of like the lucky girl who's out there making YouTube videos and getting famous, you know, or whatever for that. I just think that was I loved your character in it, and I loved the scene with you and Derek Mears, which we don't have to talk about specifically if you don't want to kind of spoil anything. But that scene was hilarious. And the scene with Tony Todd, just two powerhouses that you got to kind of work with. You know, I think that's awesome.
Incredible. Yeah, I'm so blessed to have been able to work with those two. Not only just as like within the horror community, but like in the acting world in general, those two men are so incredible. And I've had scenes with both, like, it's just crazy. But thank you so much for saying you loved my character, my performance too. You are so sweet.
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, it's true. I think you bring comedy to kind of like Jennifer, the girl who plays Jennifer, I'm blanking on her name, but she was great. What is that?
Her name is Danielle Today.
Okay, yeah, she was wonderful, but I hate to say it, you kind of steal some scenes because whenever you're in the scenes with her, because your character is too, like, your character is upbeat when hers is a little bit more morbid and crazy, you know, like she has to kind of play the straight person compared to your, you know, kind of, you know, fun, uppity, you know, kind of character and everything.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
well, also I wanted to be careful too. So yeah, so my character in the movie from Jennifer, her name is Stephanie Hart. And like you said, she's kind of just like a YouTube star who's using her YouTube fame to get roles in movies. And, you know, when you initially look at the surface and when I first got the script, it's super easy to want to be like, oh, she's a YouTube star and she's an idiot and she, like, is so dumb and doesn't know what she's doing. Like, you know, it's easy to go that route. But for me, you know, I worked really hard, like, studying the script and working on things to make her a real person. And she's not an idiot, you know. She knows what she's doing. She's smart. She brings cameras because she knows how things work. And it was hard for me to, like, try and find the balance between being, like, bubbly and silly, but also kind of intelligent, at whether or not she realizes it. So that character was amazing for me because sometimes you see, like, just, like you said, not the, like, the crazy, outrageous, goofy character who doesn't have any depth. And I feel very grateful that Frank allowed me, that Frank's the director, to just find the depth within her and also make her a real person, you know?
Right, for sure. Laura just called in, so let's bring her on here. Hey, Laura, you should be on.
Hey, what's up? How are you?
Good. Laura, this is Megan. Do you guys know each other personally at all? Like, have you ever met or not?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I still haven't met you, even though I know all about you from the Jenniferverse, you know?
Yeah, that's so true. Because the world is so small in the Jennifer world. Everything just overlaps each other.
It kind of does, though, especially now with, you know, that the franchise has continued. Some characters are being brought into this most recent film, too. So it feels like we're all a small little family. So it's weird that
exactly.
I haven't met my family.
Exactly. No, I was excited. I apologize that I'm late. I was doing some stuff. But I'm really excited to be talking with you today because when Jonathan originally told me that you were going to be on for tonight for the show, I got super excited because I heard all about you from the whole, you know, the Jennifer series and all this stuff. And I was just like, you know, I'm a part of the Jennifer series too. It would be so much fun to kind of just hear her out and hear, you know, what she thought of her experiences and how, you know, because the group, the Jennifer group, everyone that's been a part of each film is just so loving and they love the art and they love the art form and they love what they do and they love horror and we're just there not only to like have fun, but everyone is there to give it their all. And that's just what's so great about that team. And every film, the team just gets better and better. So thank you for being a part of it.
Oh, my gosh. You're so welcome. But that was just so eloquently put. Yes, I agree to everything Laura just said.
And I felt bad for thinking this, but you kind of brought up a good point, Laura, because it seems like each Jennifer movie does get better and better. Like,
yeah.
in some way or another, like, I don't think it's, like, it has nothing to do with budget, it doesn't have anything to do with anything, it's just that's the way it's going, I think, you know, it's just each one gets, you know, kind of better and better as it goes, and I love
exactly.
that, you know.
Exactly.
It makes you want to
yeah.
see the next one.
Exactly, and I will say I have, I know what's happening in the Jennifer series for what's to come, and I will say it does just keep getting better. One of my really good friends is going to be in the next one, and I'm not allowed to say who it is yet, but I will say watch out. It's going to be amazing, and it just, again, like you said, it just gets better and better, and the storyline gets better and better, and I can't wait to see where it goes. It's really good.
I'm speaking of the next film, I am so stoked because James Cullen Bresnick, do you know James Cullen Bresnick, Jonathan?
We're friends on Facebook and Twitter, you know, like,
oh,
so yeah, and I've had him on my show before too. He's been on the show with Zach.
Yeah.
Ward.
So. Oh, Zach Ward. Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Well, so
yeah.
I'm Zach Ward and James doing a Sharknado film called Sharknado: Heart of Sharkness.
I saw that years ago.
You did?
Yeah, years ago. It was a little while ago. I don't know if it was years ago, but I saw it on Amazon Prime.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, so I'm in it. I play like the girl who ends up playing Tara Reid's part before she gets cast in like the real Sharknado. It's a mockumentary about the making of the Sharknado films, and it's hysterical. And y'all should watch it on video on demand. But anyways, that's how I met James, and then James like introduced me to Frank, who was the director of. From Jennifer and got me the audition and whatever. And James was the one who messaged me, you know, a couple months ago and was like, hey, we want to do another Jennifer movie. Are you in? We want to bring your character back. And I almost pooped my pants because I was like, hell yeah. Oh my God, that's incredible. So I was stoked to see how I was going to be involved because up until this point, each film is a standalone, if you will. They have similar themes, but none of the characters are in the same movie.
Yeah.
But so for this one, I was like, what? They're bringing Stephanie Hart back. Yes, please. And so there's a couple other characters that are being brought back, and I start filming on Tuesday, and I am so stoked.
Yeah, it's exciting.
That's awesome.
It's happening. They happen so fast. They're just like throwing them out so quickly, this series. And it's literally, I feel like they do two a year. They've been doing two a year the past couple of years. And it's just, I don't know, it's just phenomenal. The team is just on it. They're in love with the idea, and they just want to keep it going.
It's awesome.
Now,
it's so awesome.
Megan, you were mentioning earlier that with your character, you kind of had a way to bring her out. Like, you figured out a way to, like, you know, kind of bring her to the screen. Can you tell us, like, any kind of tips that you have as an actress to actually, you know, to bring a character that and make them real?
Yeah, for sure. One thing that helps me kind of make the character realistic in my own is that there's a part in the film where you see a whole bunch of, like, YouTube videos that Stephanie has put up online as Jennifer's kind of introducing who this character is. And those videos, Frank just said, hey, film it on your own, do whatever you want, write it, shoot it, and just hand me what you want. So he let me create content for a character, which normally in a feature is extremely rare. Normally the director or the writer isn't just like, oh, go write some scenes, you know. So that got to help me specifically in this movie. But in general, as an actress, I'm the type of actor who finds what in me is in the character and then what in the character can be in me and like whatever. So for Stephanie, I am a totally positive, upbeat person. I love laughing. That's definitely something that I enjoy. But I also feel like if people around me were dying, like a director of a film that I made or whatever, some crazy stuff that happens in From Jennifer, you know, she's a human. She's not just a person written on a piece of paper. She's three-dimensional. And so you have to think, like, how would you react? And if your reaction you think would fit the character, then that's perfect. That makes the acting a little bit easier. But if you think she wouldn't act in that way, you have to think of, well, what is realistic for her? But for me, it's always just been easy to find bits of me in my life, how I actually act, that can fit in the character. And then make tweaks and I don't know. It helps when you have a good director as well.
Exactly.
For sure. That was a very good response. Thank you for that. I would love to hear that kind of stuff. I love to hear that how an actor, you know, process works. Like, I love to hear the stuff like people are method actors or something. You know, like that always just makes me laugh. You know. And people who take it way too seriously, like James Franco, I think, does that stuff, you know, like a lot. He'll, you know, become the person or whatever, and it annoys people, you know, but it's hilarious. And
well,
I actually love hearing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for The Disaster Artist, because he directed the film too, he directed it as Tommy Wiseau, I heard, James Franco. So he would talk in that accent when he was giving actors direction, which is insane to me. I would have never been able to take him seriously because that character is so hysterical. But yeah, that's always a little bit weird to me. But then also on the other side of the coin, when people are like, oh, if your character needs to cry, you know, just imagine something sad that happened in your life. And to me, that doesn't work at all. You have to, like, if I'm thinking about my dog dying while, you know, I'm supposed to be crying in a movie that has nothing to do with my dog dying, I don't think that's realistic or true to the character at all. I think you need to get in the head of the character. But so that's weird to me, too. Like, don't you hear sometimes when actors are like, oh, I just think of something really sad that happened to me. Like, how is that true and real to your scene partners, to the character? Like, that seems like bullshit to me. Oh, am I not allowed to swear?
Oh, you're allowed. You're allowed to cuss as much as you want. So it's fine.
Oh, but you know what I mean, guys? Have you heard like actors who do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, Laura, do you want to take that?
I just as far as like method acting and crying and all that other stuff, I mean, I agree that Megan's saying it's hard to be on set with people. As for me, it's like a job. Like, it's for me, acting has been something that I've been doing forever. You know, I've been doing theater and Broadway for a really long time, and then, you know, now I'm doing film. And the one thing that we've learned as theater actors is, you know, you go to your rehearsal, you do your rehearsal, you go to your show, you do your show, then you go home, and you're normal. You know, I feel like you aren't an actor if you have to be that person 100% all the time. That means if you're a better actor, I think you're even better if you can pull yourself away for a minute, go home, pull yourself away, and be normal. And then, you know, you're on set and you could snap right into it. You snap right into it and you're in it and you're there. And then no sooner I walk to the dressing room, I'm myself again. And anybody I ever worked with will tell you that they get surprised. You know, I'll be laughing hysterically, joking with my peers or whatever. You know, they call me, okay, Laura, this is your, like, you know, big major cry scene or whatever. Or I have to go crazy and, like, you know, go crazy and hit someone in the head or whatever. And I'm laughing and joking with everyone. And then I get on set. I put my earphones in for like a minute. And then I take them out. And then I do my scene. And then I'm literally like almost bipolar. And sometimes directors, like, they think it's hysterical. They're like, Laura, you're literally bipolar on set. Like, we don't know when you're going to, you know, switch. Because they have no idea. Because I'm always myself. When I'm not on that set, I'm myself. And it lets everyone be comfortable. It lets them know they can come up to me. They can ask me questions. And unless I'm doing something where I know, okay, I need a few minutes for this, I'll let people know. I'm like, look, this next hour or the next 15 minutes, I need my space. And everyone's like, okay, cool, chill. And then I do my thing and then I'm done. But that means I'm relaxed. I go home and I don't have a headache. I go home and I'm not, crying to my pillow, like, this was the longest day of my life. No, I go home, I'm like, that was a productive day. I think I pushed myself or did this and that, did that, because I'm not in the character when I go home. I'm normal. And I have a lot of friends that are method, and even speaking to them, even I don't know when they're normal. You know, when I'm going out to dinner with them, I don't know if that's really them or if that's their character that they're being for the week. It's really hard to be around people like that, I will say. It really is. And it's a struggle for other actors on set to be around people like that, because it's kind of like when you want to just talk to somebody about, you know, how you're feeling about a scene or whatever, and that other person can't give you that, it's very difficult, you know.
Oh,
I don't know.
I had I had asked a girl, an actress that I met at a convention, and I won't say her name or anything, but just because, you know, she's not, you know, told her I was going to say this, you know, or whatever. But I asked her, she was a method actress, and she laughed at me and said that in a mean way, but she laughed and was like, no, whenever the camera's off me, I'm my happy, ditzy self. And then when the camera's on me, I snap into whoever I'm supposed to be at that particular moment.
Yeah. And that's how I feel like, I mean, but that's not for us to say. I mean, at the end of the day, for me, whoever, like, the technique any actor chooses, because for me, it's an art. Whatever that person chooses, I respect it. It's not for me. I respect those people that choose that death method's their way, but it's not for me. Like, I definitely do my study, and I definitely go on set and, like, you know, for, like, an hour before my thing, I'm in character or whatever, but I'm not like that the whole day. You know, and like, going back to what Megan was saying about the crying and, you know, the emotion and stuff like that, you know, for me, sometimes I you know, I do think of things that I've been through, and I do get into that mindset, and I put myself far away and distance myself until I'm there. But everyone has their own little thing. Everyone has their own little thing. So, it's just harder when you're on set. And you're not a method actor, but you're let's say my love partner is, and he comes up to me and he tells me he wants me to be in character the whole day for him, but I can't do that because then I feel uncomfortable. You know what I mean? That's when that's when it gets difficult on set. But we then, as long as you find a method actor that's willing to give and take, just like I'm willing to give and take. If we're both like, okay, maybe not all day, but for this considerable amount of time, I will give you what you need, and he can vice versa, or she can vice versa, then it works. And it, again, it's just finding the right team. It's finding the right people that you like working with, and, you know, and to each their own. You know, everyone has their own process. And if it works for them, if they did the one scene and they were doing method and they got great reviews and it was because they had done that technique, so they decide to stay with that, then that's for them. And but for me, I've found that I didn't need to do that, so I'm not doing that. You know what I mean?
Well, hold on. Yeah. I want to piggyback off of kind of what you said when you referred to, like, that's not acting. I totally agree, and I'm constantly saying, so the main two examples that I go to is, so Leonardo DiCaprio finally won his Oscar for The Revenant, which is great, and his performance was incredible, and the movie was stunning, and it was beautiful, and whatever. But it's not acting when you're actually eating raw animal meat, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not acting when the director is putting you actually in, like, negative degree temperatures. Like, to me, as an actor, you should be able to give you the performance of their pretending to eat that, because that's we're living truthfully under imaginary circumstances. That's what acting is.
Yeah.
And so
you're
actually eating raw animal meat. That's not imaginary. Like, so of course he won the Oscar. He was actually doing that crap. But also, to bring back to, like, the horror world, because I was talking to you how I'm obsessed with horror films, but one of my absolute favorite horror films of all time is The Blair Witch Project. And the movie's incredible, but if you do research on what the director made those three actors go through, it's so brutal and unfair, and really did make sure that they got lost in those woods and really didn't provide them with food and crafty and all this stuff. And to me, again, yes, their performances were very realistic, and it's one of my favorite films, and I guess it worked, but you should be able to trust your actors to act. Like, if a director made me get lost in the woods and refused to feed me, I'd sue him. Like, what?
Yeah. Exactly, because like you said, and what we're talking about is, like, it's our job, and going back to the trust thing, that's our job. And if you don't trust me by now, by how many projects I've done and whatever you've seen me in or whatever, then maybe I'm not for you. Or whatever. But, you know, there's a lot of people that just don't trust their actors. I'm like, I think, you know, if you're hiring them, then you trust them. If you're at the point where they did a good job for you, where at the audition or whatever, and they're professional and this is what they do, and they show you that, then you should trust them. And there are a lot of, you know, directors out there that like for some reason you get on set and they treat you like a kid, like you don't know what you're doing, and it's like, wait, what? Like, no, it's okay, I'm good. Like, you know, it's like, it's okay. I know what I'm doing.
Well,
you know,
it's not only that they're not trusting their actors in situations like that, but they're not trusting themselves and their own directing ability. Like, if you can't direct an actor, you know, in a communicative way to, you know, act like you're freezing, then maybe you're not a good director either. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's crazy, like, how many stories I hear from other actors, you know, and luckily, knock on wood, I work a great, and everyone I've worked with, we've all trusted each other, and we've managed to make amazing stuff that we love. We don't care if anyone else likes it, but we love it, and that's all that matters. As long as we do something that we love, then we're good. We did good that day. And I've been lucky that I've been working, you know, shout out to everyone I've worked with out there, like, we've all trusted everyone and what they put to the table, not just acting, but we've trusted the sound, we've trusted the lighting, we've trusted, you know, grips, you know, a scripty. Everyone out there is just pulling in whatever they have. And you know, out of all those other horror stories I've heard from other people, I feel like I am very lucky, and I'm lucky to have worked with the people I have. And now that I'm talking to you, Megan, I'm like, you seem chill. I would totally work with you.
Done.
You guys seem very much alike, like a blonde and brunette version of each other, you know. Like,
yeah, there we go. Well, there's a film for you right there already. I can feel it. Like, Jonathan, start writing something. Let's go.
sure. Maybe I will. We gotta get to the meats and potatoes of things. Like, I want to know kind of what's kind of been the hardest thing that you've had to deal with being on set, Megan?
Hardest thing that I've had to deal with. Someone's phone is ringing.
Is that mine?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's my, I can't find it. Oh, here it is. It's my other phone. I'll put it away. Go ahead, answer the question.
I'm sorry, I just can't think when their phone's ringing. No, the hardest thing for me on set. Well, I would say the hardest thing for me was when I was first getting on, like, real professional sets, is realizing set etiquette as far as, you know, finding the balance between speaking up for what I feel like the character would do or say or need versus trusting the writer and the director. And I think when you're in college or, you know, whatever, doing student films, it's much more of a collaboration among all parts and players, and actors are like, no, I think I'd do this and this. But that's not always how it works on sets. And so when I got onto my first professional set, and I realized really quickly, sometimes I need to keep my mouth shut. You know, and I have to just trust it. And, you know, you definitely should feel comfortable enough to speak up. And if you think something's wrong, like, I've never felt like my voice wasn't heard. But I think the hardest thing for me was just adjusting to knowing when to contribute and when not to.
Yeah. I think a lot of people struggle with figuring out set etiquette, because when you get on a set for the first time, it's tough to know what to. Like, the first set I was ever on was actually, I got invited by Tiffany Shepis to come on a set in Richmond, Virginia, like an hour away from me, to meet the directors of this film called Zomthology. And so I got to be on set, but the whole time I knew a little bit, you know, even though this was my first set being on and everything, and I wasn't an actor and I wasn't a, you know, had anything to do with anything, I was just visiting, that you pretty much just, you know, you know, when they're not, you know, shooting anything at that particular moment, they're kind of setting up the next shot, you can maybe talk to a couple people, but you got to be careful what you say or do. So just, you know, I just shut up for a while. And the only thing I did say was I pointed out that the guy that was in it was played Major Asshole in Spaceballs. So I was like thinking it would be really funny if she called him Major Asshole. Like you're being a major asshole. But I didn't want to say it, so I just brought up his name, and Tiffany said it. Like said, hey, I should say this, and she had the more of the right to say it because she was more of the star, you know. So she ended up actually doing it, and it feels weird because you know obviously unless you know who he is, then her just saying you're a major asshole just sounds like she's just insulting him. But it was a funny inside joke, and what was that?
Oh, I was just going to say, that it's a fine line sometimes between, like, being jokey and fun versus being insulting, and you have to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you got to be careful what you say, kind of, because you don't want to piss somebody off, or you don't want to tell them, like, I don't, you know, as a director myself, I don't, like, I don't mind people being on set if it's not a, you know, close set or whatever. Like friends or people who are just checking stuff out. But I was producing a movie once, and this director, I had a friend of mine directing for the first time, and I was trying to help her out, and this other guy came on set and tried to tell me that I should tell her what to do, basically, tell these other things what to do. And I was like, I'm letting her figure this stuff out on her own. But I was kind of thinking, dude, don't be a backseat director. I don't, you know, like, I don't like that kind of stuff. And actors can kind of be like that, too, sometimes, like, you know, and everything. And you got to be careful because some people do not like that and will fire you for you know, giving your opinion.
Totally, you know? Jonathan, totally. I want to make sure I have a very lengthy career, and so – that was the hardest thing to learn. So, because I want everyone to love me and bring me back for everything. So, yeah, not being, I love that backseat director. That's a great term.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. Okay, so we've got about, about 8 minutes left of the show. Is there anything that you've been up to lately that you want to kind of talk about?
Well, before we leave the From Jennifer World, I want to let everyone know that it is free streaming on Amazon Prime right now, which is actually a really big deal, and I think that's awesome because I think everyone and their mom has Amazon Prime nowadays. So the fact that you can watch From Jennifer on Amazon Prime right now is awesome. But I also wanted to say that it's going to be released on DVD on February 13th, just in time for Valentine's Day. Perfect gift for your significant other. But what's cool about the DVD is that it's going to have, you know, like deleted scenes and, you know, bloopers and a director's commentary track. But my favorite is they're including an alternate ending, which stars me in this one scene. It's just me and the camera. And it was a really, really deep, dark ending. And it's very different from what you see in the movie that you guys will see on streaming. So I think it's really cool if you, like, pick up the DVD and you get to see this really cool alternate ending. And also, too, the first two Jennifers are all available on VOD as well. So, and then 4 Jennifer will be coming out, I think, sometime this year because we're shooting it next week. And if all goes well, it should come out sometime this year. And everybody should watch them, love them, and share them with their grandma.
Definitely.
Perfect. Perfect movies to watch with your grandma.
Yeah, definitely. And I love how you mentioned Valentine's Day, like, especially since the From Jennifer is all about revenge porn. So
it's like, what better way to tell your boyfriend you love him than by showing him some revenge porn where men's private parts may or may not get injured?
Oh my gosh. Well, that's the best way.
Nothing says I love you. As far as what else I'm up to, I was recently a guest host on Ridiculousness on MTV.
Oh, wow.
Which was awesome. It's the show with, like, Rob Dyrdek. You know what show I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
No, but that's awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing. So that was really awesome. So I'm glad that I got to do that. But as far as 2018 goes, the possibilities are endless, right? So right now I'm not signed on to anything else for the rest of the month besides For Jennifer, which is going to be the title of the fourth film. And I'm just really excited and motivated, and I have such a good feeling about this year, and I'm going to continue to work on my YouTube channel, which is called We Find Us Funny, and I always do comedic sketches like every other week with my two roommates, and I don't know. I think good things are going to come.
Right.
So I wonder... What was that?
I was just saying, it's always good to put the good energy out there. You have to.
Oh,
yeah.
For sure. Will it into existence, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I wonder if a little bit of your character, you know, comes out in some of your YouTube videos, too, you know, that you do yourself.
Well, no, they're very different. I don't ever do, like, vlogs and be like, oh, today I went to Pilates. No, we do, like, it's 5 minutes or less sketches. So they all have a beginning, middle, and end, and they're all scripted with some improv, obviously. But I'm always a character, if you will. It's never me vlogging. Very different than Stephanie. As much as I love her in the movie, I don't think I could ever deal with doing that in real life. That would get old real quick.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, well, is there, how can people reach you?
Okay, cool. Yeah, so on social media, my handle is Meg D. Smith. It's M-E-G-D-E-E Smith, S-M-I-T-H. So you can find me on Insta or Twitter. I have a Facebook page too, Megan Deanna Smith. And then honestly, through my YouTube channel as well, called We Find Us Funny. We've got a Twitter and a YouTube and an email and all that stuff. So, yeah, you should follow me and love me and share me with your grandma. I don't know why this is becoming the theme of the video. And I said grandma once, and now I'm just, I can't get away from it.
that should be like your tagline there, you know.
Oh, I love it, Donovan.
All right, well, I just wanted to thank you both so much for calling in and chatting with me, and it's just been awesome. It was just an awesome night, so thank you so much.
Great, I'm so glad I did to join on.
Yeah, definitely. I want to say, I guess, Megan, you are welcome back. Anytime that you have something else that you want to talk about. So thank you so much.
Amazing. Be careful what you wish for, though. I may be calling you up like every week from now.
I have Laura coming on almost every week now because she's been my co-host.
So. Sign.
Who knows if she can't make it? Maybe I'll ask you to co-host. You know?
Definitely. I will guest co-host anytime you need me.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you guys so much, and hope you guys have a great weekend this weekend. And have a great time on your set.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I hope you also enjoy your weekend. Isn't it like President's Day on Monday? So I feel like everyone's off for the most part, right?
Yeah.
Is it Martin Luther King Day?
Oh, maybe it's Martin Luther King Day. I don't want to just. Oh my gosh, maybe it's Martin Luther King.
I don't remember.
I'm checking on my phone right now. Right. I don't want to sound like a. Yeah, it's definitely Martin Luther King Jr. Forget everything I just said. Enjoy your moment off for Martin Luther King Jr.
Well, we gotta hang up because it's about to cut us off. So thank you guys so much, and thank everyone for listening, and hope you guys enjoyed the show. So, good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.